Coming up on today's show.
I think I threw them for a loop when I came in and go, hey, guys, listen, this is how it's going to work. Okay, we're going to do the rosary and we're going to pray and we're going to be, and we have T-shirts made of it and we're not ashamed of it. And players come up to me all the time and thank me.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode comes out. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. And then the Catholic Sports Radio community, that is the name, those four words, the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As is the case with the guest we will hear from today, oftentimes an athletic career will progress from being a young student athlete looking up to their coach and hanging on their coach's every word, never even considering the possibility that they could someday be qualified to do that. And yet, many years later, through all the experience they gain in their sport, all the wisdom they develop along the way, not to mention maturing, they are bestowed the reins of a coaching position. In our faith life, we look up to priests, to deacons, and we feel that as lay people, we cannot be qualified, like clergy members are, when it comes to being Christ to others. Yet, in John's Gospel, we are told that we can. In chapter 1, verse 12, it says, quote, "But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name," end quote. Or to read it from the King James Version, quote, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played 9 seasons in Major League Baseball, playing for 8 teams and being a part of 3 teams that reached the World Series. He also played in the league in Japan, that is the highest level of baseball there. He is a member of 8 Halls of Fame and was a manager in the MLB Draft League. After serving as hitting coach and manager for a team in the Philadelphia Phillies system, he went on to become the Pittsburgh Pirates hitting coordinator and then their hitting coach, and later became the hitting coach for the Chicago White Sox, and after that, the minor league hitting coordinator for the Baltimore Orioles. He currently is the head coach of the Conwell Egan Catholic High School baseball team in Pennsylvania, having been named 2024 Courier Times Intel Baseball Coach of the Year. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jeff Manto.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Jeff, thank you. And after all those different cities I read off in the intro, tell us, where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
I was born and raised in Bristol, Pennsylvania, in Bucks County. I was one of 4 children with 2 parents at home.
What was the boy-girl breakdown, and where did you fall among the 4 children?
It was 3 boys and 1 girl. I was the 3rd boy. My sister was the baby.
Ah, okay. Now, was that a Catholic household that you were raised in? What was the faith life like in the Manto household when you were a young boy?
It was definitely faith-filled for sure. We went to Catholic, all of us went to Catholic school. We went to St. Anne's. My brother went on to Holy Ghost Preparatory School. My older brother to me, he ended up going to Conwell. Well, it was Eagan at the time. Now it's Conwell Eagan. But by the time it got to me, I don't know whether the tuition got too high or what. I ended up going to Bristol. But we were mostly obviously Catholic through and through.
Wow. And is it kind of a generational thing where your parents' parents were Catholic and your great-great-grandparents just on down the line?
Yes, it was. My family, my mother's side of the family, is from Minersville, Pennsylvania, and they were Catholics as well, raised Catholic. They practiced the Catholic faith. My father was a second generation Italian from Trenton, New Jersey, and he certainly went to church at St. Joachim's in Trenton. And my mother actually lived next door after two of her fathers had passed with black lung. One of the doctors had suggested that they move away from the area to get a clearer sense and get back into the I don't know, the regular lifestyle, if you will. And she actually literally grew up next in the church parking lot, what we call it today. She actually grew up in a house next to St. Anne Church on Darn Street.
Wow. After an introduction filled with baseball, tell me, when did you get started into the sport and who or what pointed you to baseball? And I'm guessing, by the way, that that was the only sport you played when you were growing up.
No, matter of fact, that was that typical story. I was, you know, six of us in a row home. We had neighbors, we had neighborhoods, we had bicycles, we had wagons, we had playing on a corner, kickball, stickball, softball, any kind of ball. And I was just one of a product of that environment. And it was just a tremendous, tremendous upbringing for me. Every day we played a different sport. I played three sports in high school. I was selected all state in three sports, basketball, football, and baseball. Had offers in three sports, but as the story goes, when you got a 6'3" Italian guy at home as a father, and he asks you where you want to go to school, where you're getting the most money, I certainly didn't think I would play baseball. And when Temple offered a full scholarship, that's where I went.
Wow. What a great story. So let's continue that. You went to Temple University on a full scholarship as a right-handed pitcher, and after your freshman year, you were converted to a right fielder. Being that you had a career batting average of .412 with Temple and held four records with them, I have to believe you were definitely thinking MLB. Walk us through the emotions, the mental part of all this, never mind being a student too, of course. How stressful was it all? How prayerful might you have been during all that? Did you have a priest, a parent, a mentor that helped you navigate all of those years at Temple?
I had a guy, a priest, Father Tom Cerullo, who came to St. Anne Parish, and we met each other. I was in seventh grade, and he was going to be ordained in a couple of years, and we hit it off pretty fairly well. So I guess he would have been my mentor at the time. He always kept me close to the cross, and the stress of college baseball. You know, I really didn't know anything about it. I thought baseball is you turn on TV and these guys show up. I didn't have any idea of how it all worked. But as my career at Temple started to, you know, with the year and a half, people started talking about it, and I was so ignorant to how it all worked. I think that might have been a good thing because consequently, there was no stress.
Wow. But I have to imagine it got to a point where, and again, maybe I'm wrong, I have to believe it got to a point where MLB scouts were showing up at Temple games. Maybe they were there and you didn't know. Walk me through that because I guess I'm probably making the mistake of going through, like you just alluded to, the model that we know in 2025.
Exactly. What had happened was that, again, when I asked the coach if I could play shortstop, I was filled with teammates who were major league prospects. As you were describing those plays, we had about five or six guys my freshman year. My sophomore year, we had about five or six guys. Actually, our catcher ended up catching for the Olympic team. And so we had a really good team. And being in the Northeast, we were playing St. John's, we were playing Ryder, we were playing St. Joe, we were playing up to Seton Hall and all over New York and New Jersey. And those teams as well had major league prospects and major league draft picks. And I was just a guy who was just sitting in the lineup having some fun. And while the scouts were watching these guys, I just so happened to be doing well. And I assumed that because they're like, well, we have another guy that we didn't know about because I had gotten converted from pitching. So I was on nobody's radar.
And this was also, and once again, unlike today, this was also not a case of a parent, Jeff, MLB, come on, they're looking at you. This is the big chance. It doesn't sound like any of that was going on, that your dad was just all over you about you got to impress these guys. This is your big opportunity.
No, not at all. Not at all. Because it was one of those things, again, it was as far-fetched as it could possibly be. It was out there. People were talking about it. But I had no idea that I would be a guy. It's probably better that way. I don't know how I would have responded. But I was going out there having some fun, just hitting some baseballs all around and winning championships with my teammates. And all of a sudden, because of being a byproduct of good teammates and good coaches, I think that's what happened.
So interestingly enough, you were drafted by the Yankees. You opted not to sign with them. And then 3 years later, you entered again into the draft and were picked by the Angels, who you did sign with. So I guess kind of the same question. Did things start to change then? Because I'd love for you to walk us through what was happening spiritually, emotionally, mentally, as you're going through these developments where all of a sudden, okay, now I actually am getting drafted by MLB teams.
Yeah, my high school season, when I got drafted by the Yankees, as I found out afterwards, the Yankees took a chance that I might sign a contract just because I would be in awe of signing with the Yankees and being from the Northeast and being a Yankee fan. It just makes sense that some Italian kid would play for the Yankees. It fits in well in New York. And that wasn't to be, because Temple offered a 4-year scholarship, and my father was saying, there's no way you're passing that up. You're going to go to school.
Wow.
And so after that, when the Angels came knocking, it was just, okay, that's it. Let's make a decision here. And the decision was to sign a contract.
And audience, don't miss him saying that his father said, no, you're not going to pass up the opportunity for a full scholarship. What parent nowadays would say, no, you're not going to sign with an MLB team, especially the Yankees? School's more important. Maybe I'm wrong, but Jeff, hats off to your dad, because that obviously would not be a popular decision in 2025.
I agree.
Folks, Jeff has lots to say about his Catholic faith and how very active he is with it. Before he and I really roll up our sleeves with all that, be reminded that Alliance Catholic Credit Union created Alliance Catholic Foundation to increase opportunities to minister to the community. If you are interested in promoting Catholic culture, become a friend of the foundation. When you join online, you will receive a welcome packet and have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. And do be sure to tell them that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Jeff Manto is my guest, and you heard him talking about his time at Temple University. Theirs, by the way, is one of the 8 halls of fame that he has been inducted to. Speaking of notable highlights, I am pleased to be able to thank one of you for making a financial gift to my ministry. I was asked to keep it anonymous, but a listener recently made a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio that was accompanied by a nice note. You know who you are. I did write back to you, which hopefully you saw that email from me. This helps me with the ongoing costs that I face in operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, which is not easy given that I do not get any income for doing this show at all, which means that I have to otherwise try to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover the various expenses that you have heard me detail on a number of episodes of this show. It has only gotten even more challenging for me to personally cover the Catholic Sports Radio expenses after having just gotten hit with a bill for over $4,000 for my recent hospital visit that you might have seen a social media post about early last month in the latest entry in my long cardiac history. If you too find value in what I do each week, you believe in this ministry, you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you like this mix of faith and sports, and do indeed feel that this ministry is helping your faith life, I ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift. Perhaps it's a combination Merry Christmas, Bruce, and thanks for what you do. The listener who made a contribution did so via the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to send in your contribution. If you would rather send a check through the mail instead of putting a credit card number online, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for details on getting your financial gift to me that way. Regardless of which of those two methods you use, as you're hearing me do on this episode, when guests and listeners make a financial gift to my ministry, with permission, I do happily say your name to express my gratitude as a public thanks for supporting Catholic Sports Radio, or as some have asked me to do, like this listener that I'm thanking today, you can choose to direct me to keep it anonymous. I'm grateful for your prayerful consideration as to this form of tithing to help me continue on in my walk with Christ and all of you through this ministry of faith and sports. Jeff, before all that, I alluded to you being active with your Catholic faith. One such example is the Greece pilgrimage called the Steps of St. Paul. Tell us about that.
You know, I was never on a pilgrimage before. My wife is quite active in pilgrimages and her ladies' groups and rosary groups. And she had mentioned that a group was going from a local parish here in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So I'd never been to Greece. I never knew what was going to happen. But when I started reading the itinerary, it was pretty cool. We went to Athens and ended up in Turkey, see where Mary was living with the apostles, with John and things like that. And what it did to me, like, we had mass every day, our own little group. We had two priests traveling with us, and we had, like, pop-up masses, you know? Like, we found a place in, like, the area, and we just popped up. Next thing you know, we're having mass.
Wow.
And it was an awesome experience. We had some masses and chapels of some big cathedrals in Athens. And what I got out of it, if anything else, yes, it was holy. Yes, it was inspiring. Yes, it was beautiful. I mean, looking at the monasteries on top of these mountains, like with no peaks. I don't know how the heck they got up there. But yet, what I mostly got out of it, and I remember as a child, like, what does St. Paul to the Corinthians mean? Like, where is this guy? Like, where is that? Mm. So when you get a chance to go to Corinth, and then you go, oh, okay, he must have, and they tell you, the tourists, like, Paul was standing here, and he was speaking to the Corinthians, and now I see a better description and feel a better description when I hear those gospels.
Wow.
Yes, it was holy. Yes, it was inspiring. Yes, it was everything I thought I'd get out of it prayerfully. But most important, now I can picture exactly what was happening, because now I got more of a history as to what the gospel was speaking, not just read the gospel and figure it out myself. So now I certainly have a better idea as to what was happening.
Yeah, it's a lot more real to you, and it's kind of like putting a face with a name. Now you can picture where some of these stories happen that you hear about. When was this, by the way? When did you go on this pilgrimage?
Oh, this was 2 years ago. It was a beautiful trip. And it was backed up with the trip to Italy. That was even better than that. You know, at the Vatican, we spent time, my wife and I, we spent about a week at the Vatican and Rome and then to Greece. It was definitely inspiring.
Wow. Wow. You are also active with That Man Is You, which I think you are actually the leader of at your parish?
Yes, I am the core team leader.
For the audience members that don't know, I guess I just assume that we've all heard about That Man Is You at our local parish, but just talk a little bit about That Man Is You, the program nationally, and then specifically what you do at your parish.
I was searching for a group that can welcome men in my parish, and I went to Man Up Philly at a local high school, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's something driving me here, and I just don't know what it is. I was in a place and time where I needed to give back. I felt a calling, and when I saw the leader, Steve, he started talking about That Man Is You, I thought to myself, I could bring this back to my parish, and it has been very inspiring. It's inspired about 119 men in my parish and in our area. And what it is, it's a program where we watch a video for about 30 minutes, and then there's questions at the end, and we get in our small groups and discuss it. And it's a very vulnerable place, and men just love it. We probably get two or three new members a month.
Mm. And that number, 119, that's just tremendous. That's great. That's great. And you also attend daily mass. This is a two-part question. First is, how long have you done that, and what made you decide to attend every day? But secondly, how much does that stand in contrast, the ability to go to daily mass, versus when you're a Major League Baseball player and at best, I'm guessing that a priest comes and says mass in the clubhouse or the team hotel when you're on the road?
They do not, but you have access to it. I mean, when you go to these major cities, there's major cathedrals. You can find a church. And I made an effort to find a church even in the Major League Draft League towns. So if you want to find it, you can get there. You know, sometimes, yeah, we may not have a bus to get or a car to get there, but there's Uber, and oftentimes I would turn my morning exercise into walking 2 miles or 3 miles to church, and that would be my exercise physically and spiritually. So sometimes the priests do come. When I was a hitting coach of the White Sox, and we were playing in Philadelphia, which is 30 minutes from my house, our local pastor, Father Mooney, he came down, did in fact, we had masses, like five of us, and we did have mass inside the clubhouse. And when I was in Baltimore, a local priest used to come on Sundays when we were home and give out communion. So there is a way if you want it.
So at what point did you decide to attend daily Mass?
You know, when I started listening to a lot of priests and started investigating, and one inspiring priest was Father Mark Beard. He has since passed. I was introduced to him from a cousin, and he talked about the Eucharist, and he talked about the Eucharist and how important it was. And I felt a calling, like, to get that daily strength. And what that Eucharist meant to me is this is the strength, the bread, the nutrition that I need to show up every day. You know, I am not, obviously, being a sinner, I need that bread of life, if you will. I need that. I feel empty, and I feel like I get anxious, if you will, not to where I, you know, walk around in circles, but I get anxious. Like, I miss Mass today, and I miss the Eucharist. Yesterday, I had missed a Mass this past Sunday, not going and watching everybody go to communion. I was like, man, why am I feeling so envious? You know, this is what I feel about the Eucharist. I feel it gives me strength to be a better father and husband every day.
Wow. Wow. So let's back up to when you were talking about the opportunities when you were in MLB. I feel like over the years doing this show, for some reason, baseball stands out as the sport where there just do seem to be so many Catholics. Did you find that to be the case back in your playing days? Were athletes open about their faith at the time that you were playing in MLB?
Yes, they're very open about it, and you knew who was who, you know, and it was good, it was great, it was okay, you know. And we had this thing we called chapel on Sundays, and it was a non-denominational discussion where a deacon came in or a minister came in. Not too often did a priest come in because he was working, obviously, but they read scripture, and they gave wonderful mini homilies, if you will, and everybody was in tune to it. I mean, everybody knows, you know, who's who and who believes in what, but guys are respectful of it, and guys don't mind that. A clubhouse is a different dynamic. It's a sacred place, if you will, for men, and people love talking about their religion. I love learning about, there was guys called born-again Christians. I had no idea what that meant, and I still don't know what it is, but yet there was open discussion about it, and it was, okay, fine, this is great. I'm, you know, whatever you need to do. But nobody made fun of each other. Nobody was condescending towards anybody. It was a great place to be.
Yeah, it's nice to hear, because what you're also saying is that nobody hid their light under a bushel and decided, hey, I don't want to be criticized. I don't want to put out there what my personal beliefs are. It was very welcoming and very encouraged, and everybody got along regardless of whether you were Catholic, Baptist, you name it.
All right, correct. That's definitely the case.
You have been the head baseball coach at Conwell Egan Catholic High School now for more than 3 years. Tell us about coaching those student athletes. Yes, the X's and O's, but then also maybe some Catholic values you're imparting on them as future husbands and future fathers.
You know, we talk about that. We have a rosary every Wednesday in the chapel at school, and it's for the baseball team, but we invite the school, we invite the other athletes. And I tell these guys that they got to look, keep their eyes on the cross, man. And from my examples, and they're pretty in tune to it. These kids want it. I think we as adults sometimes, like, I walked in and go, I wonder if they're going to look at me weird, like, Jeff Manto prays the rosary? Jeff Manto goes to church? Jeff Manto talks like this? You know, wait, I thought that Jeff Manto was this tough guy who does this, who does that, who does this. And I think I threw them for a loop when I came in and go, hey, guys, listen, this is how it's going to work. Okay, we're going to do the rosary, and we're going to pray, and we're going to be, and we have T-shirts made of it, and we're not ashamed of it. And players come up to me all the time and thank me because we tell them, hey, man, in crisis, when these guys go to their knees, what are they praying to? They're not praying to anything but God.
Wow.
So in time of need, I mean, this is practice. So I give them a couple little tips here and there. I don't try to come off as being a priest or a deacon. I just try to give them some life experience. And if I heard during the homily that day, I'll share with them. And the theology teachers join us as well. They're a great help during the rosary.
But see, this is all a very interesting dynamic because in a roundabout way, you're sort of there to tell them, this is how important your faith is. Come on, baseball can't be your God. And yet they're hearing this from a guy that played 9 years in MLB.
Yeah, it's and again, it was like I got knocked over, man. My conversion story, it's pretty overwhelming when I even think about my conversion and to get stronger into it. And I try to, like, one day I told the guys, listen, when you get quiet time, this is going to sound crazy, pray for your wife. You know, pray for your wife. You don't know where she's at. You don't know when you're going to meet her, but just like, you know, God has a reason. God's going to match you up, and trust me, it's going to be a clash, okay? But pray for her now that she's doing the right thing, so when you marry her, you know she's as pure as you can be.
Wow.
and things like that. So we get the guys like, to be men.
Wow, wow.
You know, we tell them, hey, listen, you know, if I hear any derogatory thing towards any woman in that school, don't even think to come to practice because you're off the team.
Wow.
Okay? I asked the players to sit with somebody who's sitting by themselves because you can save somebody that day. You know, these are the messages we're trying to give because it's real. And then when I hear, and that's when, like, I like to, like, you know how sometimes, like, you would hear, like, athletes have power. I don't want to use political power. Let's use it in a graceful way, thinking, okay, let's be the best guys in the hallway because they're looking up to you. Okay, don't
Beautiful.
Be intimidating. Just go help somebody. Sit with them at lunchtime.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, just pick somebody.
So this has been a really nice picture that you've painted throughout our conversation, but I just heard you mention conversion story. So what is your conversion story?
Well, when I finished playing, I realized just how lucky I was. I was a 30 years of professional baseball, and I was so grateful. I was so grateful. Yes, I went to church. I went to church on Sundays, and I didn't engage much. You know, I went to church on Sundays, and I celebrated the sacraments, and I was all for it and everything. But there was something. I was so grateful for what God has given me. My family's healthy. My family's beautiful, and I have some great friends. I had to give something back. Something was missing. And you would think that somebody who spent 37 years in professional baseball, man, that must have been great. It was great, but it was not. I still wasn't fulfilled. Something was missing. I had to give something back.
Wow.
And when I look back on it, the journey to the big leagues was great. The World Series teams were great. All that lifestyle was great. But there was nothing that I was able to give thanks for. I know I had a wonderful career, a wonderful family growing up, wonderful friends, a beautiful, wonderful wife, a wonderful children, healthy. Everybody was healthy. And here I am. I got to give something back. This is crazy. I mean, and to the point where, and it was one of those callings, and I know what a priest goes through. It wasn't as strong as a priest, but I'm thinking, do I want to be a deacon? Is this where he's taking me?
Wow.
Is he taking me to be a deacon? And I thought, I read the requirements for a deacon. I went, not me. I'm not quite there. But yet, I got to give thanks. And all of a sudden, I started noticing things. Like, I didn't realize there was a cross between the church rectory and the church. You know, an outdoor cross. I had no idea. I never saw it before. And that's when I was like, you know what, man, I have to give something back. And that's when I started giving back with That Man Is You and trying to introduce these men to, hey, man, you could come out. It's okay to say you're Catholic, you know, that type thing. And for a while, they're waiting for somebody to take the bull by the horns. And I said, you know what, if I'm going to use any kind of power that I have, I'm going to bring this to the men. Because I felt it was good, prayed about it, it landed perfectly, and you know, people think like, "Nah, come on, Jeff, who are you? Where's the other guy?" He shows up every once in a while. That's why he goes to daily mass.
yeah, amen. Wow.
Yeah, so I was a churchgoer. I wasn't a daily mass guy. And once I found out how the mass is set up and what you actually see and do and receive at the mass, it was overwhelming too. Once I got into it, I'm thinking, this is it. This is what I have to do. I have to give this back to kids. And this is why I probably took the job at Conwell Egan as well. You know, to show these kids that, hey man, this baseball thing, this sports thing is just a blip. That's all it is.
Wow.
You've got to be men, you know? And one of the things you learned and one of the big things that Man Is You is I think it was the first week, I think we're year six now. I think the first week, Steve Bowman said, our jobs as husbands is to get our wives to heaven. And I told our players that, okay, try to get your mother to heaven. Okay, help her get to heaven. Take her to church. And then once you start having your wives, help your wife get to heaven. And so every day, you know, I'm doing something to where, okay, I'm looking out for my wife, making sure, you know, I try to keep her in a nice way. It's just wonderful. I just want to, once in a while, maybe, God, Denise, let's go this direction. It's just been really, really inspiring. And tell you what, it takes the edge off too.
I remember as my wife and I went through marriage prep, that statement was made to us that your job now is to help each other get to heaven. And it's a great reminder to hear it from you. I do want to close. You've mentioned her and alluded to the kids a couple of times. I do want to close by having you share about your wife, your children, and by chance, is there any sports participation amongst your children?
I'll tell you, my wife has been all inspiring for me. She started out with Walking with Purpose. She was introduced to that program, Walking with Purpose, and she'd come home from those meetings and she would tell me about the stories that she heard and the biblical stuff that she was learning. And I became intrigued. I'm like, this is awesome. I didn't know the story existed. And my children, my daughter, she's a chiropractor, and through her chiropractic care, she is definitely of faith with it. My daughter, she's a cardiothoracic nurse, so she's saving lives every day, and she's telling us to pray for different patients. And my son's the same way. He's a dude. My son's a dude. This guy's awesome, man. He shows up at That Man Is You. He travels 30 minutes to get there. He cares. He gets it. Villanova grad, St. Joe Prep grad. And he, too, right now is in with all of it. So I'm just so blessed to have what I have, and especially God in my life. It's been so much easier, walking off the field with the lack of stress that you need to play. That's just knocked out. That wall has been completely knocked down.
Amen. Amen. And we are blessed to have you on the show. Jeff, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you for having me, Bruce.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, it's fitting that we close this week's episode with a prayer for athletes. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.